Isn't that wonderful?
We have a wonderful Heavenly Father. I'd like for you to open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John. We're going to look at a verse there. This is a subject that I talked about a couple weeks back, but I wanted to take another run at it. Gospel of John, chapter 1, is where we're going to start.
Do you have an extra Bible?
I don't know. Does anybody have an extra? Yeah, Jim's getting one. Tonight I wanted to look at some things regarding grace. The reality and the realization of the grace of God. That is the door that will make it available for a believer to realize and to manifest all that God has made available. It is something that the world and the man of body and soul rebels against. And we're going to see tonight that to understand God's grace and to accept God's grace requires humility. Because grace is not about self. The opposite of grace is where men will look at their own worth, they'll look at their own works, they'll look at their own value, and they will, by that information, determine whether or not they are worthy of God, or worthy to receive from God, or worthy to receive those things that Jesus Christ has made available. But where grace lives, where grace is accepted, whether it's in the life of an individual, whether it's in a fellowship, you're going to see great things happen in that fellowship. You're going to see healing. You're going to see giving. You're going to see great forgiveness. You're going to see mercy. You're going to see all of these things because of an understanding of God's grace. I wanted to start here in John. And let's start in verse 15. John chapter 1. Verse 15. There's a context to this, and it has to do with Jesus Christ. But in verse 15, it says, John the Baptist, as he's known, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. There's a lot we could read in this chapter. Romans chapter 5, Let's start in verse 17. The context here is, very briefly, I just want to share the context. It is comparing, in part, that which Adam brought, which got us in the soup, okay, to what Jesus Christ brought, which got us out of the soup. Jesus Christ is referred to in 1 Corinthians as the last Adam. By way of Adam, because of his rebellion, because of his sin, the death, which is the lack of spirit life from God, passed upon all men. Jesus Christ, as the last Adam, walked perfectly before his Father and sacrificed his life on our behalf so that we could then have that life again that Adam lost. That's it in a nutshell. Kind of a small nutshell, but in verse 17, it says, if for by one man's offense, who would that man be?
Adam.
That would be Adam in the context. For if by one man's offense, your King James reads death, thank you. It should read the death. If by one man's offense, the death reigned. And that word reigned means to hold sway, hold kingly sway. It's what's in charge. Okay? By one, much more, they which receive abundance of the grace, is how it should read in the text. Abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by, and it should read, the one, Jesus Christ. See? Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You have the condemnation of Adam compared to the free gift from God. Now, if something is a gift, now we're going to see this in the Word tonight. If something is a gift, do I have to work for it? Once I have to work for it, it is no longer a gift. If you work a job and you get a check, is that check a gift?
No.
No, you worked for it. You worked for it. See? For, as by the one man's disobedience, is how it should read, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of the one shall many be made righteous. Referring to Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law pointed out man's, and we'll see this a little bit in a minute. The law pointed out man's inability, man's helplessness. It pointed it out. Thou shalt not kill. What did man do? He killed. Man shall not steal. What did man do? He stole. So he pointed these things out. Isn't that something? But watch this. Good thing the Bible doesn't end there. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, the what?
Grace.
The grace did much more abound. That as the sin has reigned in the death, even so might the grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that something? See. Now grace reigns. Grace reigns. And the grace that we're talking about is that grace that came by Jesus Christ, which is what we opened with. See? Now I want you to turn to Romans. Or I'm sorry, yes, Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 19 kind of ties in with what we just considered in Romans 5. It says, "Now we know that whatsoever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be what?
Stopped.
And all the world might become guilty before God. All men fall short. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of what? Of sin. But now, in contrast to that, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, or it's made clear, or it's evident. The righteousness of God without the law is made clear, being witnessed or testified to by the law and the prophets." The law and the prophets spoke of one who would redeem men. They spoke of the promised seed. They spoke of he who would take away the sins of the world. That's what this is talking about. Even the righteousness of God, which is by, and it should read, the believing, by the believing of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? For there's no difference. See? The believing of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the author and finisher of believing, it says in Hebrews. Jesus Christ believed God to carry out everything that needed to be carried out so that man could be redeemed. All those who believe on him are righteous before God. But I'm not worthy. That's right, you're not. But I'm a screw up. Yep. Yeah, you are. You sure are. Enter Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? See? Then this is difficult for people. This is difficult for men to grasp. This is difficult for men to believe. This, more than anything else, is what I run into when I share the word with people or when I share Jesus Christ. This, more than anything else, they have the most difficult time accepting the grace of God. It's too good to be true. They cannot get their eyes off themselves and their shortcomings, their lack, their stupidity at times, or their sin. And I understand that. But that's where the Word of God comes in. See? Oh, this is beautiful. Then it says, "Upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, you know what? I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How about you? Real simple. Okay. Then it says, being justified. The word justified, it basically means it's the act of making one righteous. You know, when you're in a court of law and you're acquitted, you're justified, you're free. Follow? That's sort of what this word means. See? And being justified freely, or being justified, yes, freely, by His grace through the redemption that is in whom?
Christ Jesus.
See? It's all about Jesus Christ, it's not about me. I fell short. Jesus Christ didn't. He believed. He carried out God's will. I believed on him. I get this. That's grace. I get it all. That's a gift by grace. Isn't that beautiful? This word freely is without a cause. That's what it means. It means without a cause. It's used in Matthew. A lot of you guys know this verse. Talking to the 12, where he says, freely you have received, freely what?
Give.
Without a cause, you've received. And without a cause, give. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
It's also used regarding Jesus Christ, and it says that they hated me without a cause. They hated Jesus Christ. Just like the world hates him today. They hate him without a cause. What cause has Jesus Christ ever given to be hated? None. See? Something, isn't it? What cause have you ever given to be righteous before God? None. Outside of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? Isn't that simple? That's a simplicity of grace. And we're going to see as we get into this that it's not just grace isn't what just gets us in. Thank God for that. But it's by grace that we can grow with God. It's by grace that we can manifest the Spirit of God. And it's relying on His grace rather than my own abilities. It's by grace that I rely on His strength rather than my own strength. See? Because when and where I have to rely on my abilities, when and where I have to rely on my strengths, I'm going to fall short. And I'm going to try and attain or try and grasp onto that which is unattainable. Because my abilities fall short. Do yours? Do yours at times? Sure. And then you know what the Christian does because he doesn't walk in that grace or stand in that grace? He settles. He settles for only that which he can achieve. He settles for only that which he can fight for. Rather than settling for what God has made available in Jesus Christ. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Boy, and it's subtle stuff. Because see, in fighting for this, in reaching out for it, in trying to be good enough for, and in trying to do all these things, it looks like a stand, doesn't it? It looks like I'm taking a stand. Looks like I'm taking a stand on God's word. Look at me, look at me. Truth is, I'm an idiot. And I fall short. See? So, I look to him. We'll see some verses along these lines. You know, Paul was a great example of this. Hey, did he achieve anything in his life? Yeah. But what an example of God's grace he was. Really something. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, if you're never sure what to read in God's Word, this is always a good place to start. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints or to the holy ones, you're holy not because of what you've done, you're holy not because of what you do, you are holy solely because you've been set apart because you believed on Jesus Christ and for no other reason. The world has marred the definition of holy. I'm concerned with how the Word of God defines holy. To the saints, to the holy ones which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. That verse should end there. Before him. We are holy and without blame before him. Before who?
God.
God. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, or in the beloved one. He hath made us accepted. You know what the word accepted means? It means highly favored. You're one of God's favorites. That's right. You are highly favored in the beloved one. Who's he? Why, that would be Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? We're one of God's favorites. But I don't feel like one of God's favorites because I'm an idiot. God says you're one of his favorites in Christ. See? Isn't that simple? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his what?
His
grace. The riches of his grace. Let's jump down to verse 16. Or 17. This is part of a prayer. In verse 17 it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches, or what the hope of his calling, and what is, it should read, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So we're going to read about the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you confessed him as Lord? You believe that God raised him from the dead? That's who this is talking to. So we're going to read about that power toward us who believe, which he wrought or he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, does it take some power to raise somebody from the dead? Absolutely, but we're not done yet. We're not done. If it stopped right there, we'd be okay. But we're not done. See? Which power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and what? Set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. See? Jesus Christ is the firstborn of a new creation, and he's seated at the right hand of God. What kind of power did that take? He's the firstborn. He's a new creation at the right hand of God. That's the power we're talking about. Now, if it ended there, we'd be pretty good. But it doesn't. Set him in the heavenlies, far above all principality, all power, and might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but just in case we missed anything, in the one to come. Not only in this age, the word world is the word age. Not only in this age, but in the one to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fulness of him that what?
That fills all.
That fill all in and all. Fill all and in all. That's right. Those who understand and accept this grace, when it really clicks, you cease judging yourself. Judging becomes as repugnant to the believer as grace does to the unbeliever. That's right. and you stop judging others by some kind of senses standard, some kind of actions of the flesh. Because by grace, it's Christ is all and what?
In all.
See, that's the body. Isn't that beautiful? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. We sang about this today. There's so much in these verses. My goodness. Verse 6. Chapter 2. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in what? In Him. Not your own strength. Not your own ability, but in Him. Have established in, and it should read, the faith, the believing. As you have been taught, abounding therein with what? And that's another big result of understanding and accepting the grace of God, is tremendous thanksgiving. See? I want you to go down to, let's keep reading. Beware, lest any man spoil you, lest any man steal from you, lest any man carry you away. That's what this word spoil means. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and what?
Vain deceit.
See? Philosophy and vain deceit. You know, philosophy based on world wisdom. And world wisdom is all about self. It's all about self. It's all about self-improvement. Whether it's achieving it physically, whether it's achieving it mentally, whatever. Tai Chi. You know, whatever it is. Some of them have you coming back as different animals and insects in the hopes of achieving it. Now that's nuts. Sorry. It's all contrary to grace. It's not about me. It's about who? Jesus Christ. See? Isn't that simple? Through philosophies and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the basic elements of the world, and not after Christ, see? The basic elements of the world repudiate the grace of God. They reject the grace of God. Those of us who live in the grace of God, stand in the grace of God, stay put in the grace of God, and accept the grace of God, they call us weak. So, we'll read a verse where it says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See? For in Him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are what?
Complete.
You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Jesus Christ didn't do a partial work with more left to do. It's done. You're complete. We read in Ephesians, it's all what? Spiritual blessings. And all in all is right. Once you believe on Jesus Christ, all of God's protection, God's blessings, all that He's made available in Christ, all the rights, privileges, abilities as a citizen of heaven, which we're going to read in just a minute, are yours by grace. Body and soul man says, I have to achieve it. I have to get there. Grace says, you've got nothing to do about it. You've got nothing to do with it. It was all done in Christ. And it's all available at the moment we believe. Now, there'll be some growth that'll take place as I learn more of what's available, right? As I learn more of God's Word. See? In light of what I just said, we should turn to chapter 1 of Colossians. Okay, let's start in verse 3. It says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your believing in Christ Jesus and the love you have to all the saints, and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the what? The grace of God and truth." See? They've received the gospel. And the gospel is regarding Jesus Christ and the grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ. And they believed it. They believed it. They got it. They saw that grace that came by way of Jesus Christ. And you know what it did? You know what it did when they believed? It produced fruit. That's what it did. It produced fruit. See? "As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." This word worthy is that word balance. It's the word, the Greek word axios. It's in balance. See? It's in balance. We have all that Christ made available. All of his protection. All of the rights, the privileges, and abilities. But I don't accept the grace of God because I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Am I walking in balance with the gospel? No. If you were a multimillionaire, if you had $10 million in the bank, and you slept over a sewer grate at night to keep warm, what would we call that?
Crazy.
Crazy. Right?
Yeah.
See? To walk worthy is to accept, understand, realize God's grace, and to walk in light of that. See? "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet," or made us adequate, or made us worthy, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Who made you adequate?
Father.
Father did. God did. And he did it through Jesus Christ, who has delivered us. And this means to rescue. He rescued us from the exousia, or the exercised power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his what?
His dear son.
See? He has rescued us out from the exercised power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In terms of our authority, in terms of our legal rights, we have been transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The day will come when we will physically enter that kingdom at his return. But for now, we have access to the throne of grace. We have access to our Heavenly Father because he has made us citizens of heaven. And we have all the rights, privileges, and abilities that are associated with that. Think of this in terms of prayer. Think of it. When you make a request before your Heavenly Father, when you approach that throne, you do so as a legal citizen of heaven, claiming your rights as a son of God. That's why God says pray. We live in a dark age, and the powers of darkness hold sway in this age and in this world. But as a citizen of heaven, I can make claims. I can claim my rights that people who don't have the Spirit of God, who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot claim. And I don't have to fight for it. I don't have to try and reach for them. I don't have to try and be good enough, because it was given in Christ. Do you see how it's the door to really manifesting what it is God's made available? Without understanding grace, oh man, you know, you just end up in a world of hurt. See? Let's go to, boy, I got to get moving here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. You guys knew I had to read this one. Ephesians 2, verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "In you." I'm not going to read the italicized words. They were added by the translators. But so it would simply read, "And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." The children of disobedience, if you work this in the word, are simply those who have rejected Jesus Christ. They've rejected what Jesus Christ made available. "Among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of living in time past, in the lusts of our flesh or the desires of the flesh," because that's all there was. There was nothing to fulfill. There was nothing else to fulfill but the desires of the flesh. Me first, me first, me first, me first. You crush whoever you have to crush to get ahead, to get what you want, to get what you need. It's just business. Right? That's the world. That's this age. "Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," it says. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you what?
Saved.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come," the purpose of this, the point is that in the ages to come, he might show or exhibit. That's the point. The point is that he might exhibit the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I don't know what eternity is going to look like. It's going to be pretty good. Right? That's the point. That God would just demonstrate the riches. Isn't that something? Of his grace. The exceeding riches, right. If it said riches, that would be pretty good. But it's exceeding riches. for all eternity. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We're almost done. But I wanted to show you and a couple examples here in the life of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, Paul was a murderer. Paul had believers thrown in prison. He was there at the death of Stephen when they killed him. And in verse 9 it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet, or I'm not adequate, or I'm not qualified to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I'm not qualified for this. But by what? The grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace which was bestowed upon me was not what? In vain. And I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I." He wasn't working for something. That's not what this is saying. "Yet not I, but the what?
The grace.
The grace of God which was with me." Isn't that something? Paul wasn't adequate. Oh, the Apostle Paul. He's as holy as they come. If you look at paintings, he's got a halo. He wasn't adequate. He wasn't adequate to be called an apostle, but it was by God's what? By God's grace. Boy, Jesus Christ called him. See? Jesus Christ put him in the ministry. Isn't that something? And he was an apostle. The Apostle Paul. "I am what I am by the grace of God." See? There's another place in Corinthians where it says, "I don't judge myself. I don't judge myself." Because of God's grace. That's the freedom that we can enjoy when we begin to really realize that grace of God. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just real quick, I'm going to story time this because I want to get moving, but there's a context to this. And Paul had endured a lot of things. He had endured beatings. He had endured imprisonment. A lot of different things. And the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, tried to stop him at every turn. And the Apostle Paul prayed three times. Three times he asked that this thorn in the flesh, that this stuff that was going on could stop. And it was Satan, if you read in the context, that was trying to hinder the ministry of Paul. See? And it says this, "And lest I should," verse 7, "be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to polish me off, to finish me off, that I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, my grace is what?
Sufficient
for thee." Now the word "sufficient" doesn't communicate in English like it did here. What this word means, it's always enough. Whatever you need, whatever the situation, you will have what you need. No matter what it is. That's sufficient. It's always enough. "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made," or it's perfectly accomplished, "in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities," or in my weakness, "that the power of Christ may" what? rest upon me. See, my strength is fully accomplished in weakness. If I don't understand grace, I don't accept it, I'm relying on me. Am I not? Absolutely. See. But his strength is made perfect when I recognize my shortcomings, when I recognize my inability, I recognize my weakness. So many times, I just don't know. I don't know what to do. But God does. And so I'm not scared. I'll have what I need. How about you? That's living in the grace. Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? Just because you don't know doesn't mean you're screwed up. You know what it means? It means you don't know. That's what it means. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Okay, we're almost done. I went a little longer than I'd intended. But you know, it's worth spending time with this, isn't it? I think so. Romans 4, verse 3. It says, "For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his believing, was counted unto him for what? For righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? Of debt." See? I can never work for what God has available. I can never work for it. I can never do anything good enough. Otherwise, I would be able to say, "God, you owe me this." I don't think so. "But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his believing is counted for what? Righteousness." See? "Who worketh not, his believing is counted for righteousness." Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Almost done. Hebrews chapter 4. The context here is regarding Israel, unto whom the gospel was preached, but it wasn't mixed with believing. Now, God had promised them a promised land, which is what's addressed here in this section. But he spoke of another day when there would be true rest. And that's where we're going to pick it up. "Again, he limiteth," or he sets, "a certain day," saying in David, verse 7, I'm sorry, "after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if," and the word "Jesus" is in the King James, it should be "Joshua." "For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" You see this? "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Okay, you want to work? You want a job? Here's your job. Labor to enter into that rest. Yikes. How about working to stop working? Right? Labor to enter into that rest. Lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. for the Word of God. See, you know, well, let's just read this next verse. For the Word of God is quick. It's living. That word quick is the word living. The Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a critic, is a discerner. It's the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Our standard, our only standard, is God's Word. That's our standard. And God's Word says it's all in Christ. That's what God's Word says. You know, just prior to reading this verse, we talked about the example of unbelief. Unbelief is denying the grace of God. That's unbelief. Unbelief is saying, I'm not good enough. That's unbelief. Or that I can never be good enough. Right, you can't. It's grace. Isn't that something? See? Condemnation. Self-condemnation. That's unbelief. That's contrary to God's Word. That's contrary to who you are in Christ because of God's grace. Feeling unworthy is unbelief. Do you see this? It's unbelief. Because it's denying what God has made available and what He says by what Jesus Christ accomplished. Isn't that something? You see? And that's our standard. I want to close in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. There's a context here to the elders in the church, but then it goes on here. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the what? To the humble. To the humble. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. To be humble, or humility of mind, we heard it in manifestations, is to be in awe of God. Is to understand and see and accept God's vastness, His bigness. And not just that, but what He says is. His Word is true. His Word is His will. God resists the proud. The proud says, well, I think this. I feel this. Do you understand? But He gives grace to the who? To the humble. The proud won't accept grace if you hit him over the head with it. See? It's what I do. It's about me, 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 me. No, it's not. It's about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. See? Then it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And you know what the next verse reads? Casting all your care to Him. That's humility. Where a man realizes, I can't do it. I'm going to cast this to my Heavenly Father. And He is going to take care of me. That's humility. Isn't that something? And it takes humility to accept grace. It takes humility to walk in grace. It takes humility to stand in grace. See? Because that natural man, that body and soul man, it's always concerned about what people think about me, how I look, all those things. But that Spirit of God, that new creation, it's all about Jesus Christ, see? And we can live this way. We can accept God's grace. And we can walk with this kind of humility. And that's when we see the fruition of that grace of God really start to come to pass in our lives, in our walks, in our lives, in our families, everything. Okay? So, Father, thank you for your word, your love, and your great grace. And for this chili that we're about to eat. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I'm full.